Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff and Tom.
Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rockin'
yes,
Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rockin' Sports.
Hey, rock fans, Mark Gutscott from Trickster, hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom right here. Oh, Hard Rockin' Sports, you listen, crank it up.
Hey, this is Ken Aronoff. You listen to Hard Rock Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, this is Tommy John. You're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hi, this is Jason Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Yeehaw! This is Jimbo Wallace from Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Rock on.
I can say right now, I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell. Final.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together where we bring you all the news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to spring here in the Northeast. Had a very warm day here. Last week had a few cold days, and today was 80 degrees. We're going to be dropping down. But listen, it's nice to walk outside at 5:30 in the morning and have a little hot air hitting you in the face instead of that brisk cold air to wake you up. So we are in the start of, I guess, a very short amount of springtime, and then we'll be getting hit in the face with the 80, 90 degrees. But we're here indoors tonight, weathering the storm, which seems to have passed. Had some serious rain. Hope you guys have had a great week. It's been a fun week here at Hard Rock and Sportsland. Well, not really. A lot of personal stuff going on, but we won't get into that tonight. But we have so much to talk about tonight. I'm waiting for Jeff. Hey, Will Cloak, what's up, my brother? Home on leave, I see, my friend. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Yes, you're right. I have to get off my ass and do a little homework. I should add some John Sterling calls onto the show. There's a few good ones to get in there, so I have to do that. Speaking of which, we'll talk a little Yankees tonight. A little bit of controversy this week. One of the most popular Yankees in a long time. Aaron Judge turned down a big deal. I understand the thought process, but I don't think it makes the fans very happy. When you hear the numbers, you really tend to think the Yankees were very fair in their offer. We'll talk about that offer and the thought process behind Judge. We also want to get to a little more baseball tonight. Clayton Kershaw throws 7 innings, no hit ball, looks stress-free, and he had to come out of the game. Now, I know there's injuries involved, but we're in the sissification of sports. This is the true meaning of sissification, because I got to tell you, if I was the guy out there, you'd have to drag me off. Now, I would never throw as good as Clayton Hershaw. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, my generation, the guys I played ball with, the guys I watched grow up, you would have had to get them off the mound with a tow truck to not finish that game. Now, I would say you don't want them throwing 120 pitches, but you got to go back out for the eighth inning. You got to. You have to go back out for the eighth. And the minute you give up something, a single, a walk, an error, anything, you yank the guy out. But we're going to get into that with my dad, I'm sure, with Jeff when he pops up. So lots to get to tonight. Lots to talk about. A lot of baseball. USFL's back after 30-something, almost 40-year absence. We'll talk about the USFL, some fun rules, some differences. I have their rosters. Not a lot of familiar names unless you're a major college football fan. So we'll talk about that. We got the draft show coming up, the pre-draft show for Sunday Audible. I'll try to send the Audible return next Saturday, the 23rd, with our pre-draft show. And in 2 weeks, we'll be on the air live with our NFL draft show. Jeff, myself, John Marhefka, joined by maybe some friends along the way. So lots to talk about, lots to get to. Also, Michael Schenker was in Rat. Don't remember that. I heard a little John Bon Jovi singing. I don't know if you guys are fans of John Bon Jovi, but I'll tell you, might not be the prettiest thing I've ever heard. So we'll talk a little about that. Yankees and Mets off to good starts. Dwayne Haskins taken out. Tiger fizzles. Anybody watch K-Rod? You know, the Manning cast in baseball may not be the same as a Manning cast in football might not be the same as the Manning K-Rod cast. I don't know if you guys saw that. Gilbert Godfrey passed away. I got to get a little Gilbert in tonight because one of my favorite comedians of all time. Let's see. Oh, boy, Jeff's in another one of his moods. Let's see. Van Halen almost went back out on tour. We'll talk a little bit about that. Baker Mayfield, we'll talk, Baker Mayfield, we'll talk Kyler Murray. And there's another question. Oh, and Cam Newton's very bad comments. So we'll get to that. So lots to talk about, lots to get into. I don't know if I should get my dad on first, wait for Jeff. I think we'll wait for Jeff a minute. Good start off by the Mets. Let's be honest. Everybody's got, you know, I'm listening to sports radio all day and people have them off and running. Super. It's World Series bound for the Mets as usual in April. We'll see where they are in September, but you know, the makings of a different team, you see some pop in the bats. Not atrocious in the fields, and they're going to get good pitching. Bassett impressed me the other night. Scherzer. This is a good team. We'll see how the long stretch plays. Some interesting moves by Buck so far. So we'll get into that. Of course, I'm just filling in, waiting for Jeff to pop up so I can get him on. What's his name? So the Yankees. Listen, kind of what you expected. I expected better defense. I don't like this reshuffling of the infield every game. I get LeMahieu's kind of the odd man out right now. I think you need to get steady there. I love the way Rizzo's swinging the bat and plays defense. I think Donaldson's going to be a good fit if he can stay healthy. The outfield's in pretty good shape. I mean, Gallo just can't hit. I'm sorry. I like Joey Gallo. I think he's a fun player, and I think he's a good defensive player. But, boy, hey, Louis Gumadi, what's up, my man? So Gallo, again, is as advertised. He's going to have a big game or two. He's going to hit 30 home runs. I guarantee he's going to hit you 30. This team will hit. I mean, and they've shown it so far. Defense is killing them, to be honest with you. I think, what's his name? Isaiah Kiner Kalefa. Yeah, Kalefa. Billed as at least a good defensive shortstop has not looked it so far. Gleyber Torres is just lost in the field. It might be time, and I got to be honest with you, if I were the Yankees and there was any sort of a market for Gleyber Torres, I would make the move. I would get yourself a good utility guy, put LeMahieu at second base. You got to hope that mid-part of the season, one of those two young shortstops is ready to come up. It's probably Peraza, not Volpe. Volpe, they say, is at least 2 years away, but you got to hope one of these two guys are ready based on the fact this guy doesn't look like he even has a bat. This ain't a young guy. This is a 27-year-old shortstop who's been in the league for a few years. So a little disappointing there, but this team will do well. This team's going to be fine. It's going to win its 90 games. It'll be in the hunt. You need better pitching at the top. Cole's got to pitch better. He cannot turn these games over to the Yankees already down 2-0 or 3-0. He just can't do it. They're fighting their way back, and then, you get one bad at bat, and the bullpen's been good. So lots to talk about tonight. I hope you guys have your comments. Throw them up there. If anybody wants to join in, let me know. But my dad's hanging. Jeff just popped up, so let's get Jeff on, and then we'll get my dad on, too, and we'll talk. So without further ado, I'll bring on the heart and soul of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, my good friend of 40 years, and the sexiest man on his side of the TV, Mr. Jeff Towinski. What's up, Hefe?
What's up, man? I had some computer issues.
No problem. Those are pops like
back.
I want to just get this out there for one more time. Lou Pica and Pete D'Agostino are the only two guys who've eaten themselves out of a lineup. Just for the record, they ate themselves to death. It was one too many Shamrock Slurpees or too many McNuggets at the McDonald's between games, and they couldn't play because they overate. Just for the record, and I had to play in a broken ankle. That's just for the record. Yeah, so just want to get that out there for records now, Jeff. Anyway, let's get the show started. Jeff, how was your week?
I overate today. And it's no Shamrock Shakes, just pizza and grilled cheese, and it's not good.
Oof, pizza, that's a hell of a combination.
Listen, it is what it is, and how are you, everybody?
What's up, Michael? How are you?
This may rear its ugly head sometime in the very near future.
Well, listen, Jeff, usually people say that you're full of shit, so maybe it's true now.
I'll be unloading soon. I should just sit on a bucket during the show.
You should just take the phone, just take the computer in the bathroom, sit right on the bowl, and have at it.
I don't think we need that.
Jeff, is the rumor true that you are, again, Facebook banned?
It is true. I am on a 30-day work detail.
Would you like to expand on your charges?
Yes.
Please.
Yes, it seems so that there is now a witch hunt.
Facebook's after you?
Facebook is witch hunting me.
You and Donald Trump are both banned by social media.
No. Donald Trump, he caused his own problems. I didn't cause my own problems. I commented on a picture, not on a picture, on a short video of this horrid fucking woman. And I said somebody should shoot that.
Oh, boy.
And next thing you know, 30 days.
Yeah, have you not learned your lesson from the last time you were out for a few days with the...
What do you mean, like 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, 10 minutes ago, yes.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
2 weeks ago was 2 days. Then the beginning of this week or last week and the last week was 7 days, and now we're up to 30 days.
Pretty soon they're gonna ban you from Facebook for life, Jeff. It's not good. We're going to have another concert.
Okay, but I'm going on record here as saying that if that happens,
yes,
I'm just going to do what everybody else does and just continue to make pseudo, pseudo accounts.
Okay.
And just start rotating, that's all.
All right, listen, if we need to have another concert, we can have another concert.
No,
please.
It's all right.
Listen,
it's disgusting that this is what's happening. But listen, I can't believe it. I don't.
Well, listen, let's get to the show. We got lots to talk about.
Wait, hold on, wait. Okay. You're right. I did disgrace them. I did by calling it a cock box.
Yes. Lou, we had to have a benefit concert to save them. We had to have celebrities come on board and singing and
bells.
Yes. We had a benefit concert to raise awareness for Jeff and the tyranny that he was facing, and it's getting worse now. It's only getting worse.
It is, because once you're in on their radar, that's it.
Oh yeah, listen, you're definitely
lifetime.
Oh yeah, yes, you are a charter member of the watchdog. You're like the subway terrorist was on the FBI watch list. You're on the Facebook watch list, and that did us no good.
I wouldn't put that on Facebook, though. Be careful with that one.
Yes, let's be careful of that one. Again, guys, lots to talk about. Remember, next Saturday, the 23rd, 9 o'clock in the morning, the return of the Sunday Audible for our pre-draft show. John, Jeff, and myself get together, possibly with some friends, and we'll do a couple hours of pre-draft show, getting ready for the big night of the NFL draft on April 28th. So If you're out there on both those times, come on down, join us, and get our insight into the big thing. We'll be here doing the first round, or some of it, maybe about half of it, live right here on the show. Jeff, myself, and John. I tell you, it's scary. It's scary. It is what it is. So again, let's hang in there. Lots to talk about tonight, Jeff. We got USFL. We got football. We got Aaron Judge turned down a big deal. We got Tiger fizzles out. We got Staten Island Ferry Hooks. We got a first woman ever to be coaching on the field of a baseball game, a pro baseball game. We'll talk about that. Derek Carr, Cam Newton, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield all in the news this week. Was there supposed to be another Van Halen tour after Eddie's passing? I got some info. Hey, Jeff, you remember Michael Schenker?
Yes.
Remember when he was in Rat?
No, I do not.
Well, we're gonna remember tonight. Clayton Kershaw throws 7 innings, a perfect game, and then has to go and take his vitamins. So he was out. And I'll play you a little bit of John Bon Jovi, and we'll decide whether John's done or not.
I heard it. He's done.
We'll get to that. And, of course, one of my favorite comedians, Mr. Gilbert Gottfried, passes away at 67. We'll play it. We'll do a little, maybe a little tribute to Gilbert tonight. Yankees, Mets, Dwayne Haskins, so much more. Only got 2 hours and change, and it's me, Jeff, and all of you guys. So thanks for popping by. Ready to get this going?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Let's get my dad on first. He's on with us almost every week, and he's always got something good to say. So let's see what's up this week. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Mr. Florio?
Yeah. How you doing, Jeff? Yeah, it's just good. I'm watching the Yankee game. So far, it's rain delay.
Yeah.
And I still say they need a left fielder. They need a shortstop. And they need a catcher. I mean,
I won't argue left field, although I think between Judge, Hicks, Stanton, if everybody stays healthy, and you're going to mix in Gallo, that's going to be your outfield for this year. I'd like to say you might get something better, but unless somebody goes down with injury, Pop, I think you're riding the season. I agree with you on shortstop.
You're
so far, it's been not impressive.
But you're guaranteed almost a 200 strikeout. This guy, I don't care what anybody tells me, it's either home run or it's nothing.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all, but he's going to hit 210. He'll hit you 30 home runs, drive in 60 or 70, and play good defense. And is that going to be good enough? Probably. Is it what you're looking for? No, I agree with you, but you're stuck with him this year. They're not going to move on unless he gets hurt or somebody gets hurt. He's going to be in the mix.
How about your shortstop now?
Well, again, here's the problem. You're stuck with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa because. Kind of Falefa. You're stuck with him because you the kids in the farms are not ready. You can't make another move right now that I could see. Although I would trade Torres if possible right now, maybe get yourself a shortstop. But otherwise, you're going to go to. We got to hope this kid comes around.
I don't know. I watch him. I mean, it's like the American. It's like the National League last year. Mm-hmm. 8th and 9th hitter was like it's a give me.
I'm not arguing with you. Yeah.
I Toronto got a good team.
Yep.
I mean, the Yankees got a good team. Mm-hmm. They got good position players. But yeah. They're 8th and 9th, and I'm Gallo has a good defense, but I keep saying it, and I believe it. It's either a home run. I mean, he doesn't know. I
get it, Pop. Bob, I get it. I really do understand it. I just you got his contract. You're not going to release him. Nobody's taking him in a trade. If you'd be lucky to get a bag of balls, and I don't even think you get that for him. He's a good outfielder. He's going to play himself. He's going to keep himself in the lineup until something changes. Whether it's he's hurt or the other three guys are on a roll. Something's going to he may turn to the fourth outfielder with. But they're just not going to overdo it with Stanton and Judge both in the outfield all the time. So he's going to have to be in the mix. There's no other choice. As far as the rotation, I don't think the rotation's been bad. I like Montgomery.
No, they got a pretty good team.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Pop.
When I get to the back, it's dead. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I watched the Mets a few times, and, I mean, Alonso, I don't know. His defense is really...
I think he's lobbying to stay out of the DH spot full time. Again, I think Buck wants to use that kind of moving guys around. Their best team would be him at DH and probably Dom Smith at first base. But I think the kid wants to play first, and he's going to give a little bit of a, you know, kick in the sand until he plays there. So he'll play, you know, 3 or 4 days a week at first, and you'll see. Dom Smith probably a couple days a week with Alonso DH'ing. But, you know, I agree with you, Pop. Their best team would be Dom Smith at first base. So I agree
with you.
Yeah.
He's made so many mental mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Not even that. All right, I'm going to let you guys go.
All right, Pop.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow, Tommy.
I will definitely call you in the morning, Pops. I'll see you over the weekend.
I will.
Next phone.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That's my Pops. He checks in every week. He's always got something good to say. And it's always a lot of fun to get him on there. So, hey, Jeff, before we move off of baseball, let's stay on baseball for a few minutes. I know you're not a big watcher of the game, but did you notice the deal the Yankees presented to Aaron Judge this week?
I know they presented a deal to him and then he turned it down. But what the deal was, I don't know.
Well, it turns into an extension. I think it was 7 years, $230 million. It was basically a $30.5 million a year extension. Now he's 31 now when it ran through his 38-year season. He's looking for, another year or two, and he's looking for money that Mike Trout gets, which is about $36 million a year.
Guy doesn't stay healthy.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So basically he said, if we can't get a deal done before the season, I'm going to play the season out and take my chances that I'm going to stay healthy, be productive, and then I'll see what I get in the off season. Now, as a Yankee fan, I want to get pissed off about it, Jeff, because you say, hey, you got to be a little bit of a realist. You're not as good as Mike Trout. You do have a big, other than last year, you've had 4 or 5 years in a row where you have been hurt. And let's be honest, we haven't gotten this team back to the World Series, back to a World Series yet, and not back to an ALCS in quite a while. So, you know, to me, while I love Aaron Judge, does he deserve to be in that rarefied air, Jeff?
I asked a friend of mine a long time ago when Judge was on a tear his first year up. I says, is this guy the real deal or is he, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was like, oh, he's definitely the real deal. You don't know what you're talking about. He's going to be great. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. I don't get that. And I'm not a baseball guy. I don't watch baseball. But I don't get that from him. He's not all that good, is he?
Jeff, I think he's a really good player. I don't know if I put him in the great category. I think he's a really good player who plays on a very high-profile team. So I think it helps him. Came out with a bang, 50 home run, 50-something homers in his rookie year.
But what has he had since?
Well, again, he's probably hit in his 30s a few times. You know, I can pull up his stats, but, you know, he's a really good player. Would I put him as a great? That's a tough one for me. He's easily the face of the Yankees. He's probably their best player, but I don't have him as a, you know, he's not a future Hall of Famer right now. Let's put it that way.
No.
We lost Jeff. So here we go. Hard Rockin' Sports. You're watching Jeff and Tom when Jeff comes back, right here in the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So stick around till Jeff gets back. Plenty to get you, plenty to talk about right here. I wonder what you guys are thinking. If you guys are out there, let me know what you think of Aaron Judge turning down the contract for 7 years additional. So please let me know. In the meantime, remember, we got the Sunday Audible show with John and Jeff and myself in a week from Saturday. And then, of course, we got the big draft show coming up, which we'll start breaking down. It's hot in here today. There's a little fan on, I think. Hold on a second. Okay, get the fan going now. We'll see if that interferes with the show at all. In the meantime, I hope you guys have a great weekend coming up. We got the big Easter weekend. Make sure you guys stay safe and take care of the Easter Bunny. Want to wait for Jeff to reboot the computer and get on back to us? I think I hit the wrong banner, folks. Let's see. There you go. So again, as we wait for Jeff to get back on, you know, so the Aaron Judge thing, listen, it's capitalism. Jeff just popped back up. Let's get him back on. A little computer issue there, my friend?
I guess. I don't know what happened.
Man. All right. No problems. So, but, you know, Jeff, here's the thing. So I understand a player like Judge trying to get every nickel he can. You know, he's taking a gamble. You know, if you have a bad season, if he gets hurt, you know, anything happens, and then that $230 million may turn into $20 million next year.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers now. And, I mean, he had 52 home runs his first year, 27. All right, 9 we know is probably the strikes over the year. And then 39, he's only cracked 100 RBIs once. He's only hit 127 walks 1 year. He only got a walk 100 times 1 year. Mm-hmm. He's only strikeouts. He's not so bad. But you know what? I'll tell you the truth. You know what he reminds me? He reminds me of one of these guys that might have been playing with something maybe he shouldn't have, had a good year, hasn't been able to recapture it.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a career very reminiscent of A-Rod, no?
Well, I mean, he
gets hurt and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's you know, he stayed healthy last year, so if he stays healthy this year and has another good year, he'll get money. You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you want to say, hey, how about a little bit of
how about some production?
Well, production's one. You want to give, you know, how about a little loyalty to the team?
Loyalty to the team, yeah. But you want to know something? How about if the team is going out on a limb and giving you that kind of money?
Yeah.
Which 10, 15 years ago was A-Rod's big contract, and everybody was blown away by what A-Rod was getting.
$25 million. Now you're talking, you know.
Over $30 million. And this guy, you know, come on. This isn't great numbers here. I don't think these are great numbers from somebody that's going to be commanding that kind of money.
I agree with you on that one. I agree, Jeff. So that's the point. So, you know, while as a Yankee fan, your first instinct is F him. You know, that's the first thing I think of is, you know, screw him. How could he be that way? You know, how could he not take that offer?
Fuck you, piece of shit.
You know, that's what I want to say to Aaron Judge. But then,
I feel as though that, well, you don't want me to say. You want me to get going?
Go ahead. Go for it.
I feel as though that New York sports should get rid of Aaron Judge.
Here we go. Go ahead. Finish it.
Juan Barkley.
Uh-huh.
That other idiot, Daniel Jones, and build up New York sports with guys like Zach Wilson and Coach Salah. That's what we need to do.
I want to apologize to everybody listening. Jeff obviously started drinking very early this week. I apologize for his behavior. This is exactly the reason why he got banned from Facebook for nonsense.
Oh, I got banned from Facebook because I said, shoot that thing. I have a receipt for Facebook.
You do?
Yeah.
I think Aaron Judge is completely entitled to basically bank on himself that he can have a big season and command bigger numbers next year. You know, to be honest with you, Jeff, as a Yankee fan, you know, if they said to us, you know what, we're going to pay him $32 million, $35 million this year and next year, but then after that, the contract's going to dwindle down to the 20s because we think there'll be a lack of production in his later 30s. I think that's fine. I am okay with the Yankee offer. I think it was a fair offer. I think it was a very good offer and one I thought he should have accepted.
I think it's a good offer too, but you know what, Tom, let me ask you something.
Yep.
At this point in time, for what these guys are getting a year and the money that they're commanding, even if you gave him $33 million a year, and if they signed him to a 7-year deal, in 3 years, is that's going to be considered cheap money maybe? And a bargain?
Again, you're right, Jeff. Look, we can talk about the quarterbacks. We're about to switch over to quarterbacks in a few minutes, and how. You know, 5 years ago, I think it was, Russell Wilson signed a $35 million a year contract made him the highest player in football. He's now like number 10 or something.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with you. When you bring it up, you bring up a lot of times about the money that some of these guys are making and how it's not right and that they're just making too much money and people are paying them. But you know what? That's the owners.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They're going to secure these guys. And on part two of that is simply that if we give him X amount of dollars now, within 3 years, it's going to be below the norm. He's going to get below average money. And we're locking him up for this kind of money now. So we're overpaying maybe the first 2 years. But by year three, if he's serviceable, we're going to be getting a bargain. If he and not for nothing, the guy can't play a full year. He's not hitting that many home runs. That if you give him that kind of money, what happens in 2 or 3 years? That say he declines quicker than you anticipate. Now you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like that too.
Yeah. Listen, I get the problem is the owners are doing this. They are pricing themselves into this situation right now. You know, they are paying these guys this exorbitant amount of monies. And you're right. They're trying to do it where, okay, today $30 million is a lot of money. But 4 years from now, $30 million will be the norm, will be on the cheap side.
Yeah.
You know, it don't make it any better. You know what I'm saying? It still comes down to he's allowed to try to get as much money as he can. As a fan, you go, when's enough enough? Like, when is enough to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to take $32 million and go play for the Cleveland Indians just to get that kind of money. And when do the owners say, hey, I got to stop giving these 31-year-old guys 9- and 10-year contracts when we all know the last 3 or 4 years are going to be worth crap?
Last 3 or 4 years, Tom, I don't even think that they got to go that way. I think the first, you may get 3 years out of them when you're 31 years old. Think of, why do you want to pay a 34-year-old guy premium money?
No, I get you. I'm with you. I don't think any contract should ever be more than 5 years, ever. I don't think you should be allowed to sign a guy for more than 5 years because I think it's a dumb business decision.
Well, unless Major League Baseball bans the length of contracts, and who are they to say?
Yeah, they'll never do it. You're right.
Can or cannot work, and then there are some players that want to get the long deals because they want to stay with the same team for God knows how long. You know, there's not many of them that want to actually stay with the same team and try to grow with the team and help the team win because that's not the way to make money. You know, I'm going to go to the Diamondbacks who haven't been averaging 110 losses for the last 5 years because they're going to give me $35 million for 5 years when I'm 35 years old. And, you know, I'm going to take that. Most of it is guaranteed. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it is. And again, listen, as long as the owners are willing to give out the contracts and the fans are willing to pay the exorbitant prices to go to games and everything that goes with it and the TV companies are willing to give out these crazy amounts of money for contracts, you know, nothing's going to change. It's going to keep going up and until someday it pops. And who knows if that'll ever happen in our lifetime.
You know, maybe this is why, I mean, me and my wife, I don't know what you pay for cable. I'm paying almost $200 a month.
Well, I pay a little less than that. I pay about $1.60, but that's because my facility pays basic cable for us. So the first $100 is paid by my facility where I live.
So yours would be $260?
It would be $260, but I went overboard because I went for extra Wi-Fi for the show. I have the whole sports package because I watch, you know, as many games as I can. So I could easily trim it down $50-$60 if I really wanted to by shortening up on a couple things. But so far, I stick with it because for $155 a month.
Right now, as we speak.
Yep.
The only thing that's remotely being used in my house is Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even has a cable box on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my wife is watching the Fire Stick and the shows on the Fire Stick, and you need the computer, the Wi-Fi for that. I got the computer going, I got the Wi-Fi for that, and it's that's almost every night. You know, it's just, it's through the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, I mean, I know that seems like we're getting off subject, but it's not.
No, it's all part of that.
Exorbitant cable prices
is
what helps pay a lot of these baseball salaries.
Oh, of course. 100%, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, because the money goes for the to the team.
To the rights for the rights to put the broadcast to games, 100%. Yeah, listen, you're, Jeff, it all goes back to if you and I stop doing it, paying for the rights to watch the games, then the teams would get less money. They'd be able to, they'd have to not pay the guys as much money. You know, it's a whole trickle down effect. But right now, they get record attendance. Football, you know, is back to where it was pre-pandemic and pre-social justice. You know, so
football never wavered. It only wavered during the pandemic because it had to waver.
Well, it wavered during the pandemic because of the social justice bullshit that a lot of people didn't want to deal with.
I think it more wavered because you weren't able to put the people in the stands. Now, once you were able to put the people in the stands, where are they? They're back in the stands.
No, I agree with that. But view, you know, there was nobody in the stands. So think about this: 80,000 people at 16 games a week that now are watching on TV, and yet the ratings went down significantly during those times. Now, it came back this year because they got rid of most of the social justice messaging. They figured out we better stop telling people they're racist just because of their skin color. So that went away, and people started watching football again. And, of course, you know, people wanted to get out and go spend and stand in stadiums and watch football games again and not deal with the bullshit. And we're getting back to semi-normal. I don't think it'll ever get back to completely normal again.
It will be. It will be back to completely normal one day. You know why? Because if people forget quick.
Yeah, no, you're right.
People forget quick. Matter of fact, a guy I work with today found out his sister had COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know what he tells my boss when he calls up? He got my boss on the phone.
Uh-huh.
He was like, I could almost hear him saying it because I know the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I didn't even know COVID was a thing anymore.
True.
That's what he said.
Yeah, it's true.
I didn't even know COVID was a thing. Okay, now, while we all, you know, most of us agree that we have our thoughts on the virus and, you know, how, the severity of the virus.
Yep.
But, I mean, I didn't even know it was a thing. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's hope that's in the rearview mirror. We all knew that we just needed something to replace it. Unfortunately, the war in the Ukraine has kind of knocked it off the bookshelves a little bit. I did hear that Philadelphia, I think, put back some sort of a mask mandate for stores because of an uptick. So I guess they're trying to hold on possible to that one. But
and then it would be the same thing like the last time. A couple people will get COVID. It'll go a couple weeks, and then it'll slow down again, and then, okay, it's safe, you know.
Yep.
Well, because it's getting warm. Like today, was it warm? It was warm.
I was in Manhattan. It was 82. And by the way, just for the record, there were 2 Tom Brady sightings in my neighborhood the last 2 days, just for the record.
I'm sorry. I hope it was your little doll in the background.
No, we think. We know that the Bradys have a place in the city. There is a big gym downstairs from my office, and we think he was working out at that gym, but we're not sure. I did not see him. It was a couple of sightings. So,
now what happens if you happen to lay eyes upon Tom Brady?
Immediately
run over.
No,
I am not
that way. I would probably just nod. I would nod or wave and just keep going.
You would nod or wave. I think he'd run over.
No, it's not my way. Now, if he waved over or we were passing each other, I would say hello. I'd have no problem. But I'm not that way. I don't like putting people on the spot that way.
I think this is what me.
Yeah.
Here you come out of work, right, coming out of the building, and then you see him right there, and you go over to him. Like, you could be Tom Brady right there. You ready?
Yeah.
Hi, Tom. My name's Tom, too. How are you?
Hi, Tom.
Can I see little Tom?
That's not funny.
Well, that.
So the good weather's here. Tom Brady's running around the streets of Manhattan, I believe. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom hanging in there.
After what happened the other day, shouldn't he be someplace safe?
Yes, he should be safe. Yeah, God, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I forgot. It's Tom Brady, so he can't be exposed to terrorist acts. They can't do it while he's around.
I would tell you that the refs would throw flags if the minute someone touched Tom. So, Jeff and Tom, every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Remember, a week from this Saturday, the 23rd, Jeff and I and our good buddy John Marhefka will be getting together for the Sunday Audible show, pre-draft show. I believe that's going to be a 9 a.m. start, a couple hours of pre-draft talk. I hope Jeff's getting his draft board ready. I've got mine working. I'm almost done.
And I am a big non-fan of this year's draft.
Because there's no big quarterbacks. You're big on the quarterbacks.
No.
Why?
No, not at all. Because every time I read it,
yep,
they come up with a different reason to shift all these guys around.
But isn't that the best part of it, though?
There is no clear-cut number one.
But that's the fun part.
Well, it is, but it isn't. And the reason I tell you why it isn't...
Why is it?
Is because when there is a clear-cut number one, it seems as though that everybody else will kind of fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where these players are ranked as players. Mm-hmm. Now, they got that defensive lineman, what, from Michigan, I think he is?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, he seems to be right now popular as the number one pick.
I would say that if it went off tonight, I think he would be the number one pick in the draft.
Right. Then you got a couple offensive linemen. One that's a little on the large side, who I would definitely, without a doubt, look at the Jets and Mekhi Becton before somebody picks this guy at 350 pounds, you know, being so young. And just, you know, keep in mind what the Jets are going through. And then you got that guy, Thibodeau, however you pronounce it.
Tavon Thibodeau.
Okay. His stock seems to be dropping, then all of a sudden one day they got him going as high as number two, number three. Then he's back down, and then he's up there again.
Yeah.
The Giants, I saw an interesting one that you would love for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would love this one. What would happen if the Giants were able to take bookend tackles with their two picks?
That's a really interesting thought process because, you know, it solves a lot of problems, but...
A lot of problems.
Yeah, okay, solves the offensive line problem.
That would more than solve it. With the kid that they took last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, with Thomas.
This kid, forget it.
Yeah, and they picked up a couple of veterans, Golinowski and the kid Feliciano, who played the center. I'd be happy to take one now. Yes, I think you're right, Jeff. It would completely solve the offensive line problem, but then you still have other problems. So it's weird. As much as I'd love to, you'd almost love to see that. I think you're going to see an offensive lineman, and then I get lost at that point. You know, I have my theories. I'd love to see Sauce, Ahmad Gardner, Sauce playing corner. That would be a huge pick. I would love to see the edge rusher. Everybody's pointed to this kid Trayvon Walker. As a guy who's flying up on the draft charts, yeah, I do too, Louie. I love Andrew Thomas. I think he's really turned the corner. So, you know, drafting two tackles, boy, I don't think that's ever happened. I would be really shocked to see that.
I'm sure. Yes, it was definitely shocking, without a doubt. But I mean, you know, as a watching a Giant team that has struggled with the offensive line over the last 4 or 5 years,
easy
more. You grab two of them, and then with that young kid, that's three-fifths of a line. I know it's not the pick that everybody wants to see, but you would pretty much open up lanes for Barkley. If these guys are real, you would open up lanes up the ass for Barkley. Jones would end up looking like Joe Montana.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just it would make this team so different.
Well, again, you know, the picks are going to be there. I mean, if they go at five with one of them, you know, you still have you have Neil, the kid from Alabama. You got Charles Cross. People are very high on Charles Cross, although some say he should move inside. But there are three or four offensive linemen you can grab early in this draft that would make sense.
The last thing that I read, it was the top two.
Well, the top two and a big two. Yeah, I mean,
be available.
Yeah,
so I was like, wow, imagine that happening.
Yeah, let me just get my little cheat sheet. I'll tell you who that guy is. The other. Drawing a blank right now. It's Ikem Iguanu, North Carolina State, 6'4", 310. You got Evan Neal at 6'7", 337. Now that's the guy that you're talking about. To be careful,
that guy, the second guy Isn't he like 350?
Well, again, they have Neil at 337. You got Ikwanu at 310. I don't see a guy at 350 on my sheet, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So
I could have swore that the guy was like 350.
Yeah, I don't see that. But again, you know, it's an interesting theory, Jeff, and one that, you know, if you wanted to solve a big, huge problem that you've had for close to a decade, that's the way to go. I mean, you grab two of those guys, they possibly – now, listen, there's rumors that at 2-6, two being the Lions, that they may actually go with a quarterback. The Panthers could go quarterback or offensive lineman. So both of those guys could be gone before the Giants come up at 5. There's people talking to the Jets, taking an offensive lineman, you know, people jumping up and grabbing one of those guys. So, you know, there's
I read that there's an offensive lineman that the Jets could be tied to in the second or third round that's actually pretty good as a center.
Okay.
But he'd be more like an insurance, which I just don't understand the point of why they would want to. I could see taking maybe like in the later rounds, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't even know if I have a 7th round pick, but the first 3 rounds, you got to try to get a premium player if you're the Jets. I don't understand that, picking a developmental player that far down the line.
Yeah, again, I think anybody you drafted at that late, you're probably looking as a later down the line guy or special team player. In
5, 6, 7, yeah.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. But the first 3 rounds.
No, you need
to
impact.
Get an immediate impact player.
100%. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I read some articles today. Dan Campbell was thrilled to have Jared Goff, but let's see who's sitting there when we pick at 2. You know, they could go offensive lineman. You got the Falcons, I think, at 4. They can go 100 ways. They can go out. They can go quarterback. I don't love the quarterbacks in this draft. I know a lot of people getting on to Willis.
I'm not even reading a lot of good things. If I was Detroit, I don't go quarterback. If I'm Atlanta, I don't go quarterback. I give it a shot with Mariota, because if he sucks, you're going to have another high pick this year. Carolina has nothing at all to lose by going after a quarterback other than paying Sam Darnold too much money. I was Carolina, I would see who's available and what's going on, because not for nothing is an offensive line. First of all, I believe that Sam Darnold has developed a crack habit and a pretty bad one.
Because he said that he was an elite quarterback.
Did he use the E word?
He didn't use the E word, but he said he's, I forgot the exact word. I'd have to look it up because we did broach it last week, but he basically says, I'm a better than a good quarterback. I'm close to being a great quarterback. And,
in high school, if we were playing high school teams.
You got to blame Matt Rhule and the Panthers. I mean, nobody told him to give him a guarantee, pick up and pay the guy a guaranteed $18 million for this year off of what he did last year.
It's not even a matter of what the money that he's making then, mm-hmm. okay? What have you done? What have you done? You had a streaks here and there. And just like every other typical Jet quarterback, you barely hit for 200 yards. Maybe a great game was 220 yards, 227 to 230-something yards, average like a game. If that, you would never like just went out and dominated a game and had like 2 for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. And, you know what I mean? I actually think Zach Wilson showed more promise at the end of last year, than Sam Darnold did at any other given time when he was a Jet quarterback.
He had a small window at the Jet quarterback where he played a few games where you thought, well, maybe. You know, and then you questioned, what was it, the talent around him?
I never, ever once, ever had a confidence when I seen him go on the field. Even the first game when he played, the first pass he threw was a pick six in Detroit.
That's correct. That's very true.
The first pass.
Yes, that's very true. Listen, I think there's some... I think the difference this year for me is that I think there's a million different things can happen at the top of this draft. You can see teams jumping up there.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's why I disagree with you. I think, you know, some years you have this, you know, you already know who's going to be the top 4 picks in the draft. You already know, short of a trade, who's going to be there. So I think this year could go 10 different ways.
I don't see that many trades trading that far up, to be honest, which is simply because one, who's the dominant player that everybody's going to want to go after?
Well, that's,
you know, after the first five picks, maybe who's going to start? Like, oh, I got to have this guy, I got to have that guy. You could almost sit back and just see what happens.
No, of course. Listen, I think the two best players in this draft, Sauce Gardner may be the best player. Also, the kid from Notre Dame is gets a lot of juice, the safety, Kyle Hamilton. I think the two big offensive linemen may be it, huh?
He's kind of big for a safety, you know?
He is. He maybe turned into one of those guys, you know, it's kind of like Urlacher. Urlacher was a safety in college, and then he came to the pros, and they moved him to inside linebacker. You know, you see a lot of that now. Isaiah Simmons, guys like that who play these, you know, smaller positions, you know, in college as a big guy, and they come to the pros, and they go to, you know, to linebacker or play a hybrid safety position. So
listen, hybrid safety position is fine, all right? But look at Darren Lee. When the Jets drafted Darren Lee,
yep,
I was 230 pounds or less than 230. He was like 228.
Trying to play linebacker. Really
And he was inside linebacker. I'm like, what is his job? To bounce off of fucking offensive guys?
Yeah, that's
not all he's going to do. He's going to be like a fucking ping pong.
Yeah, you get those guys who are tweeners, and whenever I hear that from people, oh, this guy has multiple positions, then you just know if he's not great at one position, he's not a great player. Maybe a guy could put him all over the place, but if he was good at one spot, he'd be playing there. Nobody's great at multiple spots.
Listen, when they're that fucking small, you know what? Can he run fast? Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Make him a running back. Because he's too small. What else is – how are you supposed to ask that guy to fucking cover and tackle a tight end?
Yeah. No, agreed.
How are you supposed to ask that guy to cover and keep up with some of the wide receivers that are out there today? And some of them are vicious, those wide receivers.
Yeah, you know, big guys.
An offensive lineman gets to the second level and levels this kid, you know, a guy of that size. Next thing you know, he doesn't wake up till his kids are graduating college because he just got embedded in the turf.
Yeah.
You don't want that as a number one pick. Maybe later on in the draft, you got a guy that fits that criteria and you're like, okay, we'll take a chance on him.
Yes, but not a first, especially not a top of the first round guy.
No,
I agree. But that's why I'm looking forward to this draft, because I think there's a lot of intrigue. What I think you're going to see, Jeff. First of all, you have eight teams with two picks in the first round, so that gives them a lot of leverage to either drop down and still have another pick, a team to jump up there. If you like a guy, you have the intrigue of if a team really 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 loves. So then again, most people think there's two quarterbacks in this draft who can play right away. I don't think either one of them can. But if you are the Panthers or the Falcons or the Lions, you know, there's a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks. You know, Pittsburgh is looking to grab the quarterback this year, where you could say, hey, let me jump up in the draft here, snatch this guy, and then, you know, I got that extra pick in the first round, so I'll still wind up with another number one pick. So
yeah, depending on where that second pick is, it's risky because if you're going to go after one of these quarterbacks, if they're not going to make it in the league, then you wasted a pick. I mean, Atlanta, for example, you just signed Marcus Mariota. He's still young enough.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he has a couple of years left in the tank? Does he have between 5 and 7 years? If he has a good year this year, can you see him leading your team for the next 5 years or so? I don't know.
You could, based on age, Jeff,
based on ability, no.
Well, that's it.
Tennessee.
Well, what's he done? I mean,
David Carr or whatever the fuck.
Well, that's the point. What's been amazing to me this last year is how many pro quarterbacks who were basically thought of as done. You know, Trubisky got run out of Chicago, stands behind the best quarterback in the league for a year, and all of a sudden people think he's reborn and he's going to be this great quarterback now in Pittsburgh. Okay, I'm not seeing it. And it's the same thing with Mariota. Mariota gets run out of town in Tennessee, winds up standing behind the clipboard for Derek Carr, and all of a sudden he's signed to a two-year deal as the starter, and we're having a conversation, can he carry the team for the next 5 years? Not a dumb conversation. It's the right conversation. But how do these guys not play really any downs of meaningful football and yet get multiple year contracts to be starters somewhere else?
because they're not making fucking big money, Tom. They're not making $50 million a year at this point in time.
And
these players are.
And there's a dirge. There's a need for quality quarterbacks. You know, a few years ago, we could have rounded off 15 quality quarterbacks in the league, easy. I'm telling you now, I bet you we can't do 10.
Well, you would. I think you'd be able to do 10, without a doubt. But it's the price and the pressure.
Okay.
Having the quarterback now.
Yeah.
Okay? That these people, you know, they're going to take a stab in the dark at anything and everything that moves. Because this has to be the one that works. This is the man. This has to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I really honestly and truly think that a lot of these guys, you know, they just hope it's a copycat league. We've said it a million times.
Yeah.
In Tannehill, got run out of Miami, went down to Tennessee. Look what he did in the first year, 2 years that he was in Tennessee. Everybody was like, wow, look at this. The guy was reborn. Look what he's done. So now everybody's looking for the next Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about Jared Goff. He's 3 years removed from a Super Bowl season.
Yeah, I get it.
3 years removed, and everybody's talking about when he's going to get replaced. The guy played in a fucking Super Bowl.
No, I got you, and I'm with you. And if I was Detroit...
I'm sorry, but people want to give money to guys like Lamar Jackson, who hasn't even made it into the fucking Super Bowl, and treat him like a god because he runs the ball.
Well, listen, I'm going to bring the budget quarterbacks up, and Kyler Murray's over. The rumor has it Kyler Murray isn't going to play football if he doesn't get a new contract, and he's at least 2 years away from being eligible, you know, to basically hold out and not show up anymore or go or move on. So, yeah, you're 100% right, and you're right. I think we glorify these guys like Lamar Jackson, who really are below average quarterbacks. I think Lamar Jackson is a fantastic athlete who can run with the football, but is a below average quarterback.
When I watch the Baltimore Ravens,
mm-hmm.
okay, I know they're a professional football team, but I don't get the professional football team vibe from the Baltimore Ravens. I get more of a college football team and a knockoff, maybe XFL or something of that nature.
Okay.
Because the quarterback is involved with every fucking play. To me, I just don't like that. All this guy has to do is get nicked. All he's going to do is get nicked.
Mm-hmm.
Hamstring, a Charlie horse, a tweaked knee. That's it. Your whole offense is down.
Yeah.
Your whole offense is down. I don't know if that team could operate without Lamar Jackson.
Again, I think that's been proven. They have not done well without Lamar Jackson. I think that they build their team a certain way, and then when it gets to the playoffs, it falls apart. And we saw what happened to Kyler Murray in the second half of the season. You know, but there's a lot of quarterbacks, and we're gonna switch topics right now because I want to come back and in depth. I want to talk about Dwayne Haskins dying. It what seems to be some sort of a crazy circumstance. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Well, they had an eyewitness who saw him wandering onto the highway, basically into traffic, you know, so they have not come out and, you know, I haven't heard a toxicology report. Was he drinking? Did he have any drugs in his system? What made him be on the highway in traffic at 6:37 in the morning? Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. I want to hold that off.
Keep going. I got to put my air on real quick.
Go ahead. I got the fan running here again. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, every Thursday night. 7 to 9:30. Hey guys, make sure you get out this weekend on the big Easter weekend. You're going to stop by and pick up something to bring to somebody's house. Go to your local distributor and please ask for American Premium Vodka. That's right. American Premium Vodka made with products grown here in the States and distributed here by American companies. So make sure you support our good friend, Marco Scott. I want to say formerly of Trickster Drummer. I'm not really sure where Mark stands, but he's a hell of an entrepreneur and he's out there. So do me a favor, get out there and tell your local distributor that you need them to carry American Premium Vodka and support our good buddy and local man, Mr. Mark Scott. So let's, I want to jump off the football for a few minutes. I do want to come back to it, but let's get to – how about the, real quick, Jeff, we're not big golf guys here, but, you know, Tiger Woods nearly died in a car crash a year ago, and somehow made it to Saturday at the Masters. You know, I'm not a big Tiger fan, but I'm sure it's good for golf. Any thoughts on the miracle, or do you call it a miracle?
It's golf. I don't think it's the same physical sport as some, like, as football, as hockey. I'm not taking anything away from what Tiger Woods did. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, golf, he's not. You're not asking him to put his body on the line. I understand that it's somewhat physical because of the motion that he's using to hit a golf ball, but I don't think you could compare it to hockey or boxing or football
when
you're really using your body. So, I mean, is it nice to see him come back? Without a doubt, because say what you want about him, but the guy's been at it for a number of years, and, you know, you don't want to see the guy's career end like that.
No.
That would be sad, you know, especially since he seemed like he was an all right guy. I mean, he had his, he got into involved with some stuff there for a while where, you know, he was a bad boy, but, you know, listen, this is what happens when millionaires go out and play, right?
That's it. No, I think it's, listen, it's good for sports. It's a great story. Started out okay, and then I think the wear and tear and walking the greens and, trying to hit off the uneven surfaces and all that caught up to him. Not a great finish, but he's already going to be headed to the British Open, I think, in June. So, you know, the Tiger continues. So we'll keep you guys up there. We're not big here. You got the Kentucky Derby.
Good for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good for sports in general when the big names and the legends are out there and they're doing that thing. It makes it definitely more interesting.
How many more years do you think Tiger Woods plays?
You know, Jeff, I got to be honest with you. If he doesn't recover quickly to the point where he's being competitive, I don't think it's much more. I got to be honest with you. Maybe 5 years.
Yeah, you think that long?
Yeah, I mean, I can see him doing two or three tournaments a year. You know, maybe not playing every one of them and all that stuff. I do. I almost understand. I think he'll stick around a little while. Now, again, if he craps the bed for three or four tournaments in a row and he doesn't, you know, it's possible he could call it a day. But I think the guy's got an eye on trying to win another major. So I think he's still he'll hang in there. I'll change it from 5 to 3 years. I think he's got three.
I was always under the impression that golf was a sport geared towards older guys. You know, like guys in their 40s, in their 50s, maybe even in their 60s. But evidently that is not the case as I learned more about golf.
Yeah.
There is guys in their 20s and 30s.
Oh, yeah. Most of the guys are that young. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So Tiger Woods may be aging himself out.
Again, aging, having issues with injuries and not being the same guy he was. Although, I mean, you looked at the guy, was ripped to shreds. I mean, he definitely hit the gym. So, but, we'll see.
You know, Tom, listen, we're older now. We know what it feels like. It's putting a Band-Aid on a cow.
Yep. No, I get it. Listen, I get it. I'm with you on that one, man. So, again, it was a good story, for the Masters. Definitely got a lot more. They had the whole camera trained on him, which, again, to me, you know, I didn't watch much of it, but when I did, you know, they were showing him so much, and he was playing poorly, and you're going, guys, let me watch the guy who's winning the Masters. Although it was a very boring Masters, there wasn't much intrigue to it. I didn't watch too much of it, so just wanted to get that in there a little bit tonight. Get to the USFL later. Let's see, I want to get Clayton Kershaw back. Let's do the Bon Jovi thing real quick. I know you already gave me your opinion on it, Jeff. But I'm going to play a little something from Bon Jovi, and we'll talk about it. I'm Now, Jeff, I know neither one of us are huge Jon Bon Jovi fans. We're certainly not huge fans of his band and his music. I happen to like a few songs and all that crap. And I don't know if I ever thought John was the greatest singer I had ever heard, but that's terrible.
Yes, but you want to know something? I'm going to give the man credit.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you why I'm giving him credit.
Oh, you're giving Jon Bon Jovi credit? I'm going to write this down.
In today's day and age,
yep,
where everybody is piping in pre-recorded vocals and everything else,
mm-hmm,
he's actually going out there and evidently singing on his own.
If that's what you're piping in to cover for a bad singer, I have to say,
evidently he's not piping in anything.
No, I agree. I'm just saying if that was piped in music, he's got the wrong channel on.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. And I mean, I don't get what he's trying to do there. It's, you know, your time is definitely come and gone. You're not on the same upper echelon that you once were. I don't think it really matters. People aren't going to get mad if you're if you have a couple backing tracks to help you out at this point.
Well, let me ask you a question. So I read a lot of stuff today. People said he should stop, quit, call it a day. But the place is packed. I mean, do you keep trotting out there if people coming to see you, or do you say, okay, I suck, I got to stop this, I got to stop the train? I mean, at what point do you blame him for going out there and not being on top of his game? Or what point do you blame the people who are paying $150, $200 a seat to go see him?
Well, the people don't know what he sounds like until they get there and they start recording these songs. So you don't know exactly what you're up against until you go home and you listen to the tape and you're like, I don't remember it sounding this bad.
Right.
It was just tens of thousands of people at the concert singing along, helping the singer out a little bit.
And
a lot of them may sing better than the actual singer, evidently, at this point.
I'm not sure that we wouldn't go up there and do a better job at this point.
So, I mean, you know, you got to remember, this is a man that's been at it for 40-plus years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay? I don't know exactly how old he is, but he may actually be playing in bands for 50 years. It's not easy for these guys to just turn around and say, you know what, it's my time has come. It's time for me to sit down and never, ever, ever once again ever play this again. You know, for you know, maybe this guy is getting over a cold. I doubt it. I'm just coming up with possible reasons.
Okay.
You know, he sounded like shit. I heard a tape for Wanted Dead or Alive.
Uh-huh.
And I sure would have taken him dead at that point in time because he was horrific.
He wasn't alive, that's for sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I heard. I played this one because Living on a Prayer was unlistenable. I couldn't even listen to it. Again, I'm never going to see Bon Jovi. I'll never go see Bon Jovi. I've never thought they were that he was the greatest singer I ever saw. They seem to write great, good music. People love them, especially here in the Northeast. But, you know, he's been selling our concerts for years all over the world. So, you know, who am I to question it? But at some point, you know what I really heard? It was a few years back, he was at a wedding, and the wedding band, I don't know if you ever saw it, started playing Living on a Prayer. And he got up to sing with the band, and you're almost going, get the other girl on, please, John. Get the other girl. Oh, my God. It was horrendous. I'm going, this can't be true. Like, he had to go up there and fake this. It was so bad. But, you know, again, I listen to this and I go, well, this is horrendous, but the place is packed. So who am I to say that he shouldn't keep doing it if people want to go out and see it?
Oh, listen, if you're going to do it, you need to deliver.
I agree with that. If you're charging $200 a shot, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You can't fake the guitar because that would just sound too bad. So
yep,
you have to be able to play the instruments. Singing is, you know, second to none.
Yeah.
You know, and he has to be able to sing these songs. And I mean, listen, nobody's ever going to confuse him with Freddie Mercury or anything of that nature or even Rob Halford, you know. But you got to be able to sing, and he can't.
No, he can't now. Yeah, I mean, listen, we all could say, well, maybe he's had a bad night, but it doesn't seem that way. It seems like the night has passed him. But, you know, let me see something here. Okay. Yeah, so, again, I just wanted to play a little of that. I know we're not big Bon Jovi guys here on the show, but, you know, it's relevant. I got a few other stories to come to. I want to talk a little about women in baseball, Jeff. And it seems to me now, women in sports in general. You know, the Yankees have a low A manager, Rachel Balkovich. She's actually the manager of the team, and she actually managed first woman to ever manage a professional baseball game. There is a first base coach. I believe the San Francisco Giants have a first base coach who's a woman. And the Yankees, not anymore. It's no longer the Yankees affiliate. The Staten Island Ferry Hawks baseball team. They play at the Ferry, Jeff, if you didn't get that out of the
Yes,
Ferry
I
Hawks.
Know the stadium well.
Okay. The Ferry Hawks signed a woman to the team. Her name is Kelsey Whitmore. Now, I've never seen Kelsey Whitmore play, Jeff, but I've watched in years past some of the best women softball players, supposed baseball players, try to get out there and play baseball, and to me it's a publicity stunt. A woman is never going to play well enough to beat them to compete with the men at this level. It would have to be a miracle for me to see it. Do you have an issue with the rise of women in sports in general? Because we're seeing it all over football now, but specifically in baseball, where women are getting prime spots now.
I don't so much have a problem with women being able to advance in sports as I do women advancing in a men's sport. And the thing that gets me, the thing that worries me is that if you have a woman that's a coach in the NFL mm-hmm. or a coach at the major league baseball level or basketball level, she wasn't able to compete against the competition that she's coaching against. So, like, you know, in the NFL, mm-hmm. is just because of the size.
Right.
If maybe you get a woman as a punter or a woman as a place kicker.
Yeah.
You can't expect a woman to be a defensive player or a quarterback or whatever, or be able to stand up to some of the size of some of these men. You can't expect some men to stand up to the size of some of these men. Then I don't think it's right. Baseball, I would love to know what the fastest a woman has thrown a baseball at.
It's interesting. I never looked that up, but I guarantee it's not in the 90s.
No, it probably is not in the 90s. Yeah. I know that when they're playing softball, they seem to get into the mid to high 60s.
Oh, absolutely.
Football underhand. But once again, you're asking a woman to coach somebody. Now, I'm not saying that they can't have smarts. Don't get me wrong. Anybody can have smarts. But I'd also would love, if I was an athlete, I want to be able to listen to somebody who's done it that knows what they're doing. I don't want to have somebody who's been studying it tell me what to do, because I could study too, because I've been studying and competing and doing what I got to do at that level if I was a player.
Yeah.
And so to have a woman come up and say, listen, you could do this, this, or this, I don't like the idea of it. Now, I don't have a problem with women doing it in their league
mm-hmm.
with other women.
Sure, absolutely.
Major League Baseball for women, that's fine. You know, sign them up. Front office executives, if it's a woman, why not? Why not? You know what I mean?
Do you think it's more though, especially the women on the field, do you think it's more just for show, or do you think they've actually earned the spot?
I will say I think the women that have gotten the spots have earned the respect to get the spots. I just don't think that they're I don't think that they should be giving information on something that they have not done.
I agree. And by the way, the fastest pitch by a baseball pitch by a female athlete in the Guinness Book of World Records, Jeff, I'll give you two guesses. It's not near 90. So take it lower than 90.
78 miles an hour.
You're not far off. I'll give you one more. Take it a little lower.
Lower?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You've got to be fucking kidding me. Wow. 74.
You have to go lower. 69 miles an hour was the fastest pitch thrown by a female athlete known. Now, again, maybe there's some girl down in the
baseball or softball.
No, no. It's September 20th, 2013. The fastest baseball pitch by a female is 69 miles an hour. It was achieved by Lauren Bowden on the set of Officially Amazing in Claremont, California. The fastest softball pitch, June 16, 2012, recorded softball pitch is 77 miles an hour. achieved by Monica Abbott on June 16, 2012.
So listen, say what you want. The last thing I want to do is stand in front of somebody throwing a softball almost 80 miles an hour.
I
take my chances with the chick throwing the baseball.
Now, I played softball against guys around the country who throw gas, I'm telling you, had to throw close to 80 miles an hour with curveballs and knuckleballs and all the crazy shit. And it's a bit scary sometimes because if the ball's on you like that, 45 feet and the ball's on top of you. I've gotten hit a couple times.
That's a ball, too, that's like the size of a beach ball, it seems, at times. And when you hit it and that bat reverberates into your hands.
The worst. Yeah, you get those cold.
What were you playing? What were you using, the red dot?
Well, it wasn't the red dot, but something in that category. Red dots, I think, were outlawed at that point in a lot of leagues. But it was serious.
Those things were like,
it's like playing with a brick. Oh, my God. Yeah, but I remember playing one time in Bayonne. It was freezing out. And I remember catching a pitch off the inside of the handle. And my hand, it felt it all the way up my arm into my shoulder. The bat just rung out. And the ball went about 3 feet. And I don't even think I ran. I think they just picked it up and tagged me. I was like, my hands, I couldn't feel my hands for a good 5 minutes. So, yeah. So to me, these women, Jeff, getting on the field, it's kind of ceremonial, I think. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I'd go that far and say they're ceremonial. I think they're trying to open the door for women to come on and to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that in regardless of whoever it is, man or woman, if they're applying for a position in the sports world, that they should have been able to say, you know what, when I stole home plate, when I hit 313, and I had 37 home runs and 120 RBIs. When I stole 67 bases or struck out 119 guys in six games or whatever it is, you know, that they'd have to say, you have to be able to do it in order to tell somebody else what to do. I don't think that a woman that played softball should be able to come onto the baseball field and coach a man on a baseball team.
I don't argue. I mean, there's a lot of things that people, you know, if you watch a lot of what these athletes say, you know, they get coaches who played in, you know, lower level of the minors or Division III football teams, and they don't have any respect for the guy. I mean, how do you get a female coach out there and give her any respect when she's never once threw the shoulder pads on and knows what it's like out there to go sideline to sideline and make a play or, you know, anticipate something on a football field? To me, I'm not saying that anybody should be discriminated against. I'm just saying this: if you've never done it, it is very hard to teach somebody to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, anybody could look at a play, be told the play, understand the play, the way the play is supposed to work, designed to work, and explain it to somebody else.
Right.
But I just don't think that it's I don't think it's right to put somebody in that position. It's like, okay, now go coach them. You want to coach a lower league, you know, Pee Wee football, Little League baseball. That's something that's completely different. You're helping kids learn. But on a league like the NFL, Major League Baseball, I would love to see how come there's no women that I know of in the NBA. Could you imagine LeBron James looking down at a female coach and her telling him, this is what you got to do. You got to box him out in the paint.
Yeah.
He'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get it. Listen, I think that having women's leagues is right. Again, I'm also very big on, you know, the whole transgender, you know, guys who were born a male competing in women's leagues, because I think it's an unfair advantage. So again, I also don't think that a woman, I mean, I can't think of a sport where I think a woman should compete with men at a pro level, based on strictly ability. Cause I just don't, I've seen the greatest hockey players in the world, women hockey players, and they're good for women hockey players. You know, same thing for softball players. I watch softball players. They're fantastic ball players for 45 feet and, you know, a different game. You know, it's just a complete thing. So, I'm not worried. I'm just going to say, I believe that a lot of what these women are getting in Major League Baseball and on some level, some of the other leagues, I think a lot of them are ceremonial. They're just getting the spot because they're a woman, and the league is trying to keep their people's eyes off of them. That's all I think that is.
Unfortunately, on some levels, yeah, I have to agree with that. But, you know, the sad part is that for the one or two, you know, women that might be able to compete on a men's level in some sport.
Right.
You know, maybe there is a woman that can compete with baseball, maybe compete on the field as an outfielder, or compete on the field as a second baseman or something of that nature, you know, and have it be a contact hitter. Definitely not a power hitter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe be able to, you know, there are some women that are fast. Maybe they'd be able to run the bases. As far as power numbers, I could never see a woman putting up huge power numbers.
No, I agree. No. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
It's completely different.
Hefe, so we're talking about the NFL draft, you and I. We were getting ready for the Sunday Audible show in a week. We got the draft in 2 weeks. Jeff, do you know that there's football tomorrow night? Not tomorrow night, sorry, today's Thursday. Saturday night, there's a football game to be played.
Oh, really? Who's playing?
The Birmingham Stallions and the New Jersey Generals of the United States Football League. Kicks off Saturday night. All the games, they brought back the original 8 teams with the original uniforms, and they're playing all their games in down south. I want to say it's in Birmingham, Alabama. I could be off on that. They are going to get playoff games will be in Canton on the Hall of Fame field. June 25th is the start of the playoffs. And some interesting rules, though, Jeff. So now I know you're not going to probably watch a lot of USFL football. I'm going to watch Saturday night.
You know why I'm not going to watch it or not watch much of it? Because already this is the middle of April and the playoffs start in June.
Yes.
You're talking about a 6-game season?
Probably. I would think that would get you probably close to 8 games, right? So you play one this week, about 8 games.
8 weeks from now is June.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to have 4 teams make the playoffs.
Well, the playoffs start in June, so I would guess it would probably be the top 4. I would think it's the top 4 or 6 teams make the playoffs. I would say the top 6 teams. So you can do it either way. So I didn't get that down and dirty, but they had some interesting rules, Jeff, that are going to be a little different. Now, I don't know if either one of us are big fans of football outside the NFL. You know, you're going to have a lot of new names. But the old USFL had established itself as a pretty good league, and a lot of great players that went on to the NFL played in the USFL. There are some guys from college, Shea Patterson from Michigan, the quarterback, who didn't get a real good look. There's some interesting players and coaches going to be in this league, Jeff. But I want to give you – I want to get your thoughts on how much you'll pay attention to it, if at all. But there are some interesting rules. So let me tell you about the interesting rules first, and then maybe that'll pique your interest in the league. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, on extra points, Jeff, you have 3 options. Option 1 is to go for a 1-point kick from the 15-yard line, which would make that about a 32-yard field goal, which is kind of what the NFL does now. That's a 1-pointer. You got the traditional 2-point play from the 2-yard line, run or pass. Jeff, the league has a 3-point play. You can 3 points from the scrimmage line, from the 10-yard line. So you can go for it from the 10-yard line and complete a play, a pass or run into the end zone for 3 points. Interesting. I think it's a little too far-fetched. What's your thought?
I think it's a little too video game-ish.
But now, if you're down 18 points in a game in the NFL's rule, that's 3 scores. By USFL rules, it's only 2 scores.
Very true. And you could end up having the lead.
Absolutely.
After 2 scores. But you want to know something? It's like keeping score at home. Mm-hmm. Imagine that kid that's watching the USFL for the first time and, you know, thinks he remembers football from watching the Super Bowl, and now he don't know about these. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. That's interesting. I got the onside kicks. Now, we all know the onside kick in the NFL is primarily 99.9% of the time probably unsuccessful, Jeff. Would you agree? All right, well, here in the USFL, they have an interesting take on it. So the first option is the normal one, the traditional onside kick attempt from the 25-yard line. So from your own 25, you kick off, and you have the opportunity to recover and all that good stuff. The second, Jeff, would be running a fourth and 12 play from your own 33-yard line. So if you run a fourth and 12 from your own 33 and do not get it, the other team retains possession from that spot. So if the team attempting the onside fails, however, the defense gets the ball wherever the offense is downed.
So you
think it's too gimmicky?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I would like to see them do?
I actually like that, but go ahead.
How about this? On kickoffs only. Well, kickoffs and punts.
Okay.
You catch the ball on the fly. You just like we used to do old school yards.
Oh, the spot pass time?
Spot pass. You could do a spot pass.
I actually like that idea. I actually do like that idea. The old spot pass was a good gimmick play.
Of course. Absolutely.
I would agree with you on that. Do you know in this league, Jeff, you could throw two forward passes?
Yes.
Which I think is, I don't like. I think that's a terrible rule.
No, I don't like it either.
I think that's a terrible rule.
You purposely get a guy to his job is just to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a terrible one. Let's see some other rule changes. Each coach will allow one replay challenge. We'll make all replay decisions, blah, 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 blah. Defensive pass interference, Jeff, is basically the same. Although if you throw a 5-yard pass and you're interfered with, you get 15 yards. It's a spot foul intentionally attacking receiver on 15 yards. Okay, so it's 15 yards below that, below 15 yards, anything above 15 yards, it's a spot foul, which is okay. Let's see. So if offensive pass interference, if a pass does not cross the line of scrimmage, there can be no penalty for either offensive pass interference or an eventual play downfield. Kickoffs are all from the 25-yard line, which is really far back. No team member will line up 1 yard. Let's see.
Wasn't that where they kicked the ball off from now, the 25-yard line?
They kick it off. I thought it was from the 35. It used to be the 45. I think it's a 35 now. Yeah, I think it's a 35-yard line now.
They never kicked off from the 45. They'd be putting the ball out of the
I'm almost positive back in the day it was the 35. But you know
no,
what?
No, no, no. It might have been the 25 back in the day because that's how you were getting all the kickoffs.
Maybe you're right.
Guys getting killed. If they were kicking from the 45, forget it.
Yeah, maybe you're right. So, I don't know. Like I have some I used to love the old USFL. I used to watch. I was a big fan. The Generals had some really good players. Herschel Walker, Doug Flutie, Brian Sipe, Maurice Cawthon. There were some really good New Jersey. And, of course, owned by the Donald himself back in the day. I'm interested. I'm going to watch a little bit of this. They had a USFL draft. And then also
I come across it, I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? I'll check it out. But, I mean, with all those gimmicky plays and stuff like that, it's like they're trying to do something, you know, well, the NFL doesn't do this, so let's do this. And they don't do that, so let's do that. Just to get people to, like what would happen if the NFL did this?
Well, I think a lot of that is true, Jeff. I think this is kind of a sounding board for the NFL to watch and see how some of these gimmicky things work. And it's a really big spot for somebody to think about. I think they're going, let's say it's 45 guys a team. You know, for eight teams, you're talking about 360 guys who wouldn't be playing football this year if not for this league. So I think it's a good place for the NFL to scout talent. There's a couple of players that they're already looking at.
Of course, and I think that the NFL should have a league or something to fall back on for people. Why not affiliate some of these teams with NFL franchises or, you know, allow some cross-pollination? You got a guy. But see,
interesting.
You know what? You got a guy on the NFL level that gets hurt. You can't put him in a league like this to work out the kinks because he could get killed.
Correct.
You know, it's like, so, you know, do get guys to warm up. You need to sign a player for a few weeks. Maybe you sign him out of the USFL. And isn't the XFL coming back too?
Just going to mention that. Yeah. And the XFL, Jeff, the coaches that were mentioned, Bob Stoops, who coached at Oklahoma, big-time coach. Hines Wood is actually a Jet assistant coach, who I believe will be a head coach there. Anthony Beck, the old tight end for the Jets, is a head coach there. Wade Phillips. The XFLs, I think, going to put a decent product on the field. Now, I don't know. The thing with the XFL is, again, getting coverage. The USFL is going to be covered by Fox. You'll be able to turn on your Fox Channel 5 and watch football tomorrow night and Sunday. So I think, you know, for the people who aren't huge baseball fans, I think the USFL might be a nice little change. They're going to be covered by Fox. Seems like there's some money behind it. This could turn into a little something.
Well, now, if I'm right, The Rock,
yeah,
and I believe his ex-wife have something to do
with
the XFL.
Correct, your honey. Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's the commissioner. I know he's a part owner in the league. I don't know if he's running the whole thing or if he's just there for name, which is one of the reasons why he did that whole thing at the Super Bowl, which was horrendous.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so
it was. But I will say this much. With the WWE not being the entity that it once was, I think is going to help the XFL.
Why do you say that?
Because there'll be less, you know, when I remember watching the XFL, I didn't watch the XFL, let me rechange that. When I was watching wrestling and the XFL first came out, I was like, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to, you know, you're going to have wrestlers come there and body slam the coach and, are they going to act like wrestlers, you know, as the game is going on? Is somebody going to come off the sideline with a chair and crack somebody who's running down the sideline with a chair? You know, like, is it going to be stupid stuff? Are they going to incorporate wrestling into the game, which I was happy to see didn't happen?
Yeah, well,
it was just that thought that was going to at one time happen.
Yeah, I just looked it up, Jeff. So it doesn't mention anything about the WWE being involved. It gives a little history. They said that it relaunched in 2020 with eight teams, had fairly strong ratings for the first 5 weeks, but on the onset of COVID-19 pandemic forced the league to close its doors and went bankruptcy. The Rock, a former player in his own right, bought the league in hopes of reviving it once again, and then it names the coaches. Pretty big names as the coaches. Reggie Barlow, Anthony Beck played for the Jets. Terrell Buckley was a corner in the league for a long time. Jim Haslett, Wade Phillips, and Bob Stoops, old coaches. Hines Wood and Rod Woodson are all coaches in the XFL, Jeff. And The Rock's got his name attached.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, are people going to expect The Rock to be there and to say something stupid and... I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, I think I think it's too many options. I don't know when they're choosing to play. I didn't look up when they're going to start this thing. I'm curious. You know, I mean, if the USFL is taking up from now till June, when is the USFL jumping in? I don't think you can have two leagues, to be honest with you, going at it right now. But, you know, we'll see. Let's see. Hold on. I want to see if I got any more any information here.
What happens, like right now, if this happens, right, and a second league starts someplace, what fields, where are they going to play? Where are the fields going to be that they're going to play?
Yeah.
Is anybody going to play indoors or outdoors? What about players like Baker Mayfield, for example? He may not have any team to play on. Does he get a chance to play? What kind of money would he command to play in that kind of league? Is that going to be like a glorified beer league for him?
Yeah, it's a great question. All I can say is it starts February of 2023. I do not see where they're playing the games. I don't see anything other than the names of the coaches. I guess they haven't picked players yet. But you're going to have three things. So let's say the XFL is going to go from February till probably April or May, and then you'll probably have the USFL. Kicking off, and then back to the NFL, looking to have basically football year-round. I mean, I guess it's good for betting. I mean, I bet you there'll be plenty of degenerates out there watching the games and throwing a few dollars on it.
I'm sure that there'd be people betting it, but you want to know something, Tom? It's like college football might be more interesting at this point in time because you know these guys, and it's a more at stake. What are they going to call the XFL championship, the championship game, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
what are they, the SmackDown trophy? I don't know, something stupid. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
You don't know.
Yeah, again, let's get into the field and see the product, right?
It went out of business, what, almost 40 years ago or just about 40 years ago?
1988, 86, something like that.
Okay, so you're talking going on 40 years ago, so it took almost 40 years to resurrect a couple teams?
Yeah. Yeah, and they brought it back with same uniforms. They're playing all the games, in, I think, in Alabama. And then all the playoff games are up in Canton, Ohio. You know, listen, Saturday night, I'll throw it on, see if it catches my interest, see who's on the teams. Let's see. You know what the big thing, Jeff, is? What's the quality of football? You can put all the gimmicks aside. You know, is it good quality football where you know, you can kind of get behind a team? You know, I'll throw it on. I'll dabble with it a little bit. I don't think I'll be religious with it like the NFL, but, you know, I guess you'll be watching.
If the quality of the game is going to be so bad, let's say,
yeah,
are you even going to realize that it's bad?
Yes, you will.
You know what I mean? You think so?
Yeah, you know what, Jeff? And here's what you're going to see. Tons of penalties. Guys can't make plays, can't block. You'll see it more on the offense. The defense is basically playing out there on instinct. It's, you know, trying to block and have a guy run the ball through an open hole, or protecting the quarterback, or a quarterback completing a pass, you know, 20 yards downfield. You know, if the offense is good and they put some points on the board, people will pay attention, especially the betting crowd.
Well, I'm sure the betting crowd, yeah, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
You always get people to bet on anything, you know, but you got to sit there and watch it to know if your bet is winning too, you know what I mean?
Well, that's just it. So it has to be interesting on that end. So, again, we still got a little football, but we got the draft. We got our own version of it. So, you know, who knows? You know, Jeff, we hit the wall in June when it comes to football. There's nothing to talk about in the NFL. Everybody's on vacation, getting ready for camps. We could be talking USFL playoffs at this point. We might have the Sunday Audible doing the USFL games.
Who knows? Who knows? But, I mean, just to know the people that are actually in the league is going to be enough to
– Yeah.
You know, who's it going to be? You know, it ain't going to be I didn't get drafted out of college and
yes,
I put away the first round. And
yeah,
it ain't going to be players like that. It's that I know.
I got a bet for you. What's the odds that by week two or three of the USFL, a certain friend of ours has at least one jersey and hat from the USFL?
If he doesn't already have some on order right now.
That's very possible.
Was there a team from Pennsylvania?
Let me see if I can tell you that. Hold on a second, Jeff. I think I looked that up to see the names of the teams. Let's see if I have it. I don't see it here on my thing. 2 seconds. Let's see if I get the teams in the USFL. There used to be the Pittsburgh teams. You used to have a Pittsburgh team in the old days. Moose Johnson, I believe, is the commissioner of the Daryl Moose Johnson. Let's see. So you have the Jersey Generals, the Michigan Panthers, the Philadelphia Stars. I guess that's the Pittsburgh Maulers, Jeff.
Pittsburgh Maulers. Yep, that's right. I remember them.
Yep. The Birmingham Stallions, Houston Gamblers, New Orleans Breakers, and the Tampa Bay Bandits. Not bad names. I used to love the Jersey Generals uniform, so.
It was red.
Yeah.
You look like the University of Georgia.
Yeah, I would say you're pretty close with the stars on the helmet. They were pretty cool. I might have to get myself a jersey.
A red and white helmet. That's right. It had the stars on the helmet. That's right.
Correct. So, all right. So we'll see. It kicks off Saturday night. You're sitting home. Let me ask you. I know for Christmas you get the pizza game working. You work a pizza game on for the Easter. Got a big one going or?
The Pizza Rustica?
Yeah.
I don't make one for Christmas.
You don't make it for Christmas?
No.
Only for Easter?
Right now it is still up in the air.
Really?
For tomorrow, yeah. It is possible that I'll make it tomorrow. It kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was so late this year, Easter, that it almost you didn't pay attention until it was almost here.
Yeah, that and this may be one of the most expensive weeks of my entire life, where is I got to pay my mortgage, pay my taxes, and pay off a shed that I'm having built next week in the yard. So you're talking, oh my God,
last week I took a day off. I had something to do, and my wife wasn't feeling well. So she's much better. She's much better now. Everything's good. So we went out. I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday, and we go out, and we went out to buy something. I forget what it even was. Something small. It could have been $50 worth of whatever I needed to get my hands on. I came home and I tallied up the totals, and we spent $1,000, just like that. Yeah, and I went, "You out of your mind?" And then I'll tell you. So we finished our room in the back. I finally finished painting and floors, and it looks really nice. I can't wait for you to see it. It came out really nice. So, but to finish it, I bought these bookends, these tall book things that we're gonna turn into a bar. I got it all figured out, but I can't do that until I get my new TV, because the bookends are going to on either side of the TV, the big TV I want to put there, which I had a 55 there before. So, and then to span between the two bookends, I need a shelf. But to get the shelf to work, I got to make sure that not only does the TV fit, but the refrigerator I want underneath it, either the wine fridge or the beverage fridge, has to be bought. So I need to buy, this weekend, I need to buy a TV, a beverage refrigerator, and an AC unit, all for that one room.
Jeez, that sounds like a lot of money.
Yes. So
you got to get the little Marshall refrigerator.
You know what? That's so funny. We were talking about getting a fridge like that for in that room. I don't know if that's specifically what we're gonna get, but
I saw one. It looks really cool.
It does. They do look really cool. I said they're expensive. They're like $360.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess so. It doesn't really fit the decor of the room, but I got you. So I was like, so there was a hat I wanted to buy. It was like $30. I was like, I don't think I should buy a $30 hat this week. I got to spend all this money on everything else. I'm like, fuck it.
Dude, listen, like I said, next week, my day is planned like Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get home from work. I got to clean up the yard a little bit and get ready. For Friday morning, they're going to be bringing the shed.
Oh, wow.
Friday morning, I got to get up, empty shit out of the shed and everything else, and get everything out of the way, take the dog out. The good news is only going to be there for about 4 hours.
Okay.
And then I've decided that I'm going to get some 2x4s and go across the width.
Okay.
Of the thing. So I could use it for storage.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Maximize as much storage as possible.
Smart move.
Because we took the house off the market, as you know.
Yes, I know.
So in order to do the next step, what we want to do, we have to be able to put some stuff in there and still make some room for everything else that we got. It's a lot, but we'll see what happens. I think I'll be able to do it. I'm looking forward to getting that done and out of the way. And then it looks like it may have some power, so I'm going to hook up a stereo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to really, this year's barbecue, the neighbors are going to love this shit.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And Frankie, believe me, if it was up to my wife, we'd be living in Florida tomorrow, but soon enough, my friend, we'll see. And Frank, I sent you a message. We'd love to have you on the Sunday Audible pre-draft show, or on the draft show itself. So if you or Matt feel like joining Jeff, me, and John on next Saturday or on the Thursday for the draft, we'd love to have you. And of course, Matt, I've sent you guys a message inviting you guys on. So if you're out there, Frankie, love to have you guys up for the draft. We just finished up on the USFL. We're moving on Hot Rocket Sports. Jeff and Tom talking a little bit football. I'm gonna bring up Jeff. You were a big fan of the Michael Schenker. Maybe you still are. I'm not so sure. Let's see if I can get both of us. And
I mean, his older stuff. Yeah, of course, I still liked it, but I've kind of moved on from that a little bit. But I'm interested to see what you got going.
Well, this is from 1990, and it's with Michael Schenker playing with Rat.
Okay.
I'm going to play this for you. I had no idea that he had done this, So let's see what it sounds like. Michael Schenker with Round and Round. Let's hear it, Jeff. Now, I want to preface this. The Rat is one of my least favorite bands of all time.
Never was a Rat fan.
I don't like Stephen Piercy at all. I think Warren DeMartini is a fantastic guitar player, but I've never been a big fan. So let's get back to it. It's almost disappointing to see him playing that music, Jeff. You know what I mean? It's one of the best guitar plays I've ever listened to. Playing, I don't know. I've just never been a Rat fan. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, listen, I hear you and I feel you. But it's not like he was in the band. It's like maybe he was in the area. And...
No. I don't know if Robin Crosby had died or was not able to perform. But he spent one tour as a touring member of Rat.
Oh, I did not know that. But that video, you didn't show him until the
league. That's why I said I had to find him because I could not listen to that song anymore. It was one of my least favorite tunes of all time. But, yeah, he was a touring member of Rat. One tour, maybe it was a dozen shows, two dozen shows. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, he was friends with Warren DeMartini, and he was in between Macaulay Schenker stuff, and they said, would you help us out? And he said, yeah, and he said, I hated every second of it, and I wanted out as soon as I got in.
That's what he said.
Yeah, if you read the Blabbermouth article, he basically said, I just hated it. He said there were too many people fighting, and nobody got along. He said it was just miserable. I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just figured I'd mention.
That's one of those bands where – like, the, I don't know, they came on the hair metal scene like later than everybody else, and who gave a fuck about them anyway?
No, I was not a huge fan, to be honest with you. Not my cup of tea.
I was not a
huge fan.
Oh, my God, get out of that. Okay, sorry. Sometimes I hit the wrong button.
To be honest with you,
I got an X out of it. Okay, never mind.
What are you doing, Goofy?
You know, I got to stay on the social media stuff. People are commenting on the show, so I go to social media, but if you hit the wrong button, it brings up the show.
Go to jail.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I try to stay alive for as long as I can. But I don't know. It was just interesting. And last week we did a little Michael Schenker, so I figured I'd pop that up there and talk about that. Let's see. So before I get to the Van Halen stuff, Jeff, I want to get back to, first off, any band news, Jeff? I know there's been some up in the air stuff. Have you practiced? Do we have more gigs?
No, nothing has happened since I played the show in March.
Wow, is that surprising?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. I don't know what's going on. Nor do I care. It was a little strife over a song that somebody picked, and you know my name was thrown around. And
oh, really?
I responded because somebody said, I don't think Jeff is going to want to play that.
Ah.
Oh, I can't see Jeff wanting to play that. So Jeff chimed in. And then even earlier this week, there was a post about it again.
Okay.
Somebody said, I can't believe that some people want to be so closed-minded and they're missing out on all this music. And I was like, listen, I says, I don't want to be in a fucking R&B, funk, soul, disco type band. It's not a matter of being closed-minded. I don't want to fucking play that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all there is to it. You want to play that, that's fine. You go play it, and you have a blast doing it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't have that much more time to play this stuff, and I'm not going to sit there and play fucking, you know, play that funky music, white boy. Fuck out of here.
Do you want? Is this what you really want to say?
Fuck you, piece of shit.
Something like that. Something like that. But I don't know what's going on. And then, of course, every band that I get into, mm-hmm. when we start talking about, well, what days can everybody play? The first thing I say is, I can't do Thursdays. The only way that I can do a Thursday night is if we have a show, if something is going on that, you know, what we need to play, we're playing this Saturday, we can't get any other night to play, and it has to be Thursday. And even then, I would try to do 10 to 12 or something of that nature, okay? Because this is where my commitment is on Thursdays, right here. So they said to me, you know, like, well, we're going to play, we're going to practice one night. And I was like, well, I can't do Thursdays. So I only can do Thursdays is imperative. So you know what they said to me? Well, this is imperative. And I was like, we got a show? And they're like, no. I said, son, and it ain't imperative. And there ain't no reason for me to stop doing what I do on Thursday nights to practice for this year.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
That's all there is to that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I don't know. I haven't heard much about it. Let's take a real quick look on the phone and see the last time that there was any correspondence.
Oh, boy.
Between this, and that was on Saturday.
Wow, a week ago.
It's almost a week ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ain't been nothing. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of days.
Gotcha.
You know,
I'm sorry to hear that.
You got all these other days to choose from. Choose one. Because if God forbid, it happens to me all the time. Somebody else says, well, I can't do Tuesdays. Well, why can't you do Tuesdays? I file my dog's nails on Tuesdays. Okay, I can't do Thursdays. Why not? Well, because of this. Okay, no problem. And everybody else, I can do Thursday. I can do Thursday. I can do Thursday. Like, I can't fucking do Thursday. What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Listen, Jeff, you know, we'll always try to work the show around your schedule. So if we have to start at 6 to get your practice at 8 o'clock, we can do it.
The show is 7 to 9.
Okay.
And whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the show is.
All right.
That's the show. We don't work around according to schedules. The show is 7 to 9. You know why? Because none of these bands were there before the show.
That's true. We've been doing this together a very long time.
Well, that, I may not be able to always do the stuff that I want to do on this show, but the one thing I will do is be here for 7 to 9 for this show.
Listen, I love the commitment, and I still get the chills every week when I get to turn the show on, and we get to do it together. So, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be doing it. That's for sure.
Well, listen, it is what it is. And I enjoy it, and I have fun doing it, too, for a lot of different reasons. But you know something? Other people have to respect when you say, I can't do this night, I can't do that night. That's all there is to it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Do I want to do I didn't hear all of it, but did you hear Cam Newton's – I want to get to the quarterback because we're getting late. Did you get to hear Cam Newton's thoughts on women?
No.
Oh, you got
I heard about it.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Buckle up, Buttercup. We're going back to 1955 right now.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Let's get this up on the screen. Because you're going to need to see it.
Hi, I'm John Valet.
Hold on, Jeff.
Good morning, folks. Time now is 5:07. Let's talk about what's trending on social media. And this morning it is Cam Newton and his comments about women on a recent podcast called Million Dollars Worth of Game. So it all started by him talking about his childhood, how his parents are married for nearly 40 years. He grew up in a
Now, Jeff, can you read?
Three.
Can you read what it says on the screen right now?
Yeah, listen, he may be on to something. see what his delivery is.
Yeah, be careful because these comments could get you sleeping in the shed when it comes in. So hold on. There's more to come.
A parent household, mother, father, grandmother. And then it segued to him talking about his views on women today. And he said, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs. So the people on the podcast wanted him to further explain himself. And he said, women nowadays consider themselves as bad chicks, sort to say. And he went on to say, that means you really can't cook. You don't know how to allow a man to lead. And you don't know how to be quiet. So, of course,
Jeff,
comments on this
podcast. That's funny. You don't know how to be quiet. Now, are these rules you're throwing out in front of your wife at any point tonight?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all, because I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
One, my wife is a very good cook.
Yes, absolutely.
I never, ever say to her, you can't cook. Okay? You don't know how to allow a man to lead. That may be, and hear me out, that may be the only somewhat statement on there that has any kind of credence, because there's times where a man needs to know when a woman has to lead.
Okay.
Okay. So each one of them should know their role and know when the other is taking over the lead for the betterment of the relationship, so to speak. So there are times where a woman definitely needs to take the lead and let the man sit back and just show support. And when the woman is making a statement, you know, and vice versa, but, you know, not for nothing. Most of the decisions in my house are made together.
I agree.
You know, nobody's a bigger lead over the other. And sometimes I feel bad because my wife will be like, all right, we'll just do whatever you want. And she don't do it like to cave in, but I'm like, no, come on, let's figure this out. Let's figure this out.
Yep.
And that's the way that it should be. But if my wife is agitated about something and she's making a point to somebody, I'm not going to turn around and say, listen, I got this one. You know what I mean?
No, I got you.
That would fall under you don't know how to be quiet, because sometimes you have to know how to be quiet and let the other person do the expressing once in a while. Oh. I don't have a problem with that.
I got you.
I know when to be. I have to know when to be.
Yes, that's a very good trait. Would you like to hear more of this?
Yeah, let's go, man.
Taking Twitter, social media in all by storm. So many people commenting. A lot of comments I could not put on this slideshow right here. But I will say some people are saying everyone should learn how to cook. Cooking is not a gender-assigned responsibility. I mean, what woman wants a man that has to be babied and catered to? And then other people are saying, Cam Newton said nothing wrong. I'm so tired of y'all condemning other folks and calling it outdated because they can't cook and won't let a man lead. So different opinions about what he said, Ben and Sarah, but a lot of people are focusing on.
So that's kind of the there was a couple other things about households and stuff, but that was the crux of the conversation. And a lot of people, Jeff, in the sports world said that essentially, you know, Cam Newton had a half a foot out the door in the NFL, and that probably was the end of Cam Newton's career in the NFL, because every woman's group in the world is looking to take his head off.
There's a very good one with that one. Yeah, he's probably played his last snap in the NFL.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Carolina looking to possibly take a quarterback in the draft. But, listen, you know, have an old-fashioned way of thinking. Evidently, Cam is one of them.
Evidently, Cam. Yeah, Cam is back in 1955.